Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalu.
Now, it is that time of the day. It is Wednesday and it is sex therapy time.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
This is not recommended for little ears, but you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. So, today we're going to talk about menopause and perimenopause. What is the difference between them and what are the signs and symptoms? I'm delighted to be joined by our resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. Good morning.
Good morning, Jen. What have you got for me?
Well, I have a feeling this chat is going to descend into lube chat very, very quickly because we're chatting about the menopause. That's just my prediction. But let's talk about the menopause. What is it exactly?
Yeah, so the menopause is when someone who has periods stops having periods for at least 1 year. That's the time at which you can say you've entered full menopause. And the age at which someone can experience that can really vary. It's usually between sort of 40 and 57, 58. The average age is about 51. I also wanted to say here, you know, the majority of people who menstruate and go through menopause are women, but there are also trans men and non-binary people and other gender identities who do. So it's not only women we're talking about when we're talking about menopause and perimenopause.
Okay. So what is perimenopause? I presume that's a period of time before the menopause, getting you ready for the menopause? Because I've heard this word knocking about and I don't actually know what it means.
Yes, it's the period exactly that, around menopause, beforehand, when your body makes the transition. But it's been becoming more and more popularized in the last few years in understanding the changes that you can go through and how, you know, so there are just different ways to manage it because it can potentially be quite a difficult time. It's also called the menopausal transition. It usually lasts around 4 to 8 years before you go into it to menopause. So, you know, some people will notice signs of progression towards menopause, such as like irregular periods sometime in their 40s. But some people will notice that as soon as their mid 30s. So you can start getting signs of this pretty early on, where your menstrual cycles might lengthen or shorten. You might begin having menstrual cycles where your ovaries don't release an egg, you know, where you don't ovulate. And you might also experience menopause symptoms such as hot flashes, sleep problems, vaginal dryness, and loads of others. So, yes.
Lovely. So that's what perimenopause is. So irregular periods. So, could it be only just irregular periods, or does the hot flashes and all that have to come with it for it to be perimenopausal?
Oh, any of these could be signs of perimenopause, but these are all parts of it, right? So the first, you know, the signs of it can really make you feel like a teenager again. Tender breasts, bad PMS. One of the main signs is irregular periods, and that could be that they become longer, shorter, flow might be lighter, heavier, you might skip some periods. Then you have hot flashes and sleep problems, which are really common. Mood changes, mood swings, irritability, increased risk of depression, anxiety can happen at times. Dizziness, brain fog, poor memory, they can be really common. Then we have vaginal and bladder problems. So when your estrogen and progesterone levels go down, your vaginal tissues can lose lubrication and elasticity, which can make penetrative sex more painful or make it painful. Then we have weight gain. We have bleeding gums, potentially, headaches, hair thinning, skin dryness, decreased fertility, of course, changes in sexual function. You know, some people will find that their sexual arousal and desire can really go down, although some people find it goes up. Some people find it's all over the place. Some people will say they're more likely to get thrush, bacterial vaginosis, UTIs. There's a lot of changes.
It sounds horrific.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot. You
know, joint pain, muscle and joint pain, which is known as arthralgia. We've got loss of bone density. So increased risk of osteoporosis and changing cholesterol levels. However, I say all this and it sounds absolutely horrendous. About 80% of people who go through this say that they didn't really experience much of a sort of decrease in their like well-being.
Thank God.
Or life. It's only about 10% who find it really awful. And then you have another 10% who say like it really wasn't great, but it didn't.
And are we talking here about the perimenopause or the menopause or both in that stat? Okay.
Yeah, probably more menopause here when I'm saying that. Okay. 80% say it didn't really, because most people will find that there are aspects of menopause that are really difficult. But sometimes that's more about just adapting to the changes rather than them being sort of, well, I guess it could never be objective because we're experiencing it subjectively. But like, you know, yeah, there's just various ways that we can.
Would you say a lot of it is hereditary? You'd know which way you're going to go according to your biological mother, would you say?
Well, a lot of people have said this, but it seems to be a bit of a myth. It seems to be like we can sometimes seems to be patterns there. But because you've got, you know, your paternal and maternal grandparents and like all your different lines, you know, down hereditary lines, there's just a lot of different impacts. And, you know, stress can make a difference. Your diet, amount of exercise, trauma, it seems like all sorts of possible things can change this. So, you know, I wouldn't go by, you know, it might be somewhat useful to look at your relatives and how they went through it. But it's not necessarily indicative of that much.
Can you delay going through it? Is there a supplement you can take or do something to stop all this happening?
Things like smoking and chemotherapy seem to accelerate ovary decline, which can result in earlier menopause. But basically, the age of menopause and perimenopause is thought to be generally genetically determined.
Okay. And when should you see a doctor?
Oh, see a doctor. Contact your doctor if you're experiencing symptoms that are affecting your ability to function. You know, if you notice anything unusual that might require a closer look, I would say even if you've read that it's normal, if that's affecting your daily functioning, you might as well look into what could possibly be done to help. You know, you don't need to wait and suffer horribly through this or potentially suffer at all. So, yeah.
Is there medication? Is there medication for hot flashes or any of that? Any of the symptoms?
Yeah, I mean, yes, there are some medications. And also what's important to bear in mind is even if you're experiencing symptoms that might seem, you know, that seem to be right in line with what people experience for menopause and perimenopause, it's not always menopause. There's many symptoms that can mimic the signs, but there could be other causes. So they're, you know, just the amount of, you know, juggling work, kids, aging parents, those things can contribute to the anxiety and depression that you might be putting down to menopause or perimenopause. Weight gain, which is often blamed on menopause, can be more to do with having, you know, just an aging metabolism. Thyroid disorders can mimic menopause as well. Even hot flashes, they can be caused by chronic sinus infections. So the bottom line is, don't write off discomfort as, well, I guess this is my life now, you don't need to live with this.
Yeah.
But there are medications, absolutely can help, and there are things that you can do to make things a bit easier. You know, eating a balanced diet with plenty of calcium, like leafy greens, that seems to help. Exercising, stuff that you would guess, you know, exercising regularly, managing stress, limiting caffeine and alcohol, getting enough sleep, cluing into your personal triggers. You know, some people will find that spicy food or hot showers sort of set off their hot flashes, so they make them flare. Being overweight and smoking, you know, having extra weight and smoking can make hot flashes worse. So doing things like dressing in layers to help with the flashes, having a fan in your home or your office space, taking vitamin D supplements, these sorts of things, including weight training in your exercise routine. I know a lot of people have told me that that has helped. And then avoiding smoking. And then you can absolutely talk to your doctor. Some people will take low dose birth control pills, which can regulate heavy or irregular periods during perimenopause. And then closer to menopause, hormone therapy can absolutely improve symptoms such as hot flashes. Now, some people don't want to take hormone replacement. But, you know, if you don't, there's also herbal therapies, acupuncture, self-hypnosis, lots of things that can help. And if you are up for hormone replacement therapy, that can alleviate dryness, or you can take estrogen applied locally, just applied to the vagina, which can increase the flow of natural lubrication. And obviously, there are loads of lubes out there that are going to make that easier sexually, because the vast majority of people do find that it impacts their natural lubrication.
Yeah, we couldn't let you go without talking about the menopause and sex. So you talked about your sex drive. It can go up, it can go down, it can, you know, it can go either way when you're going through the menopause. Is that right?
It can. It can be very varied. It's not necessarily, if it goes up for a while, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to stay up. But a lot of people fear that menopause and perimenopause will mean that they feel, you know, less attractive and are unable to enjoy a full sex life. And actually, you know, I think seeing this as a transition, it can bring a new meaning to sex, because once you've gone through menopause, needing to think about menstruation and pregnancy is gone, you know, and you can really enjoy things in a different way. However, you still have to bear in mind that, you know, certainly during perimenopause, it's still possible to get pregnant. And of course, it's still possible to get STIs. So depending on, you know, what you've got going on partner wise, I would say in terms of sex, communicate with any partners about this. Check in with your body really regularly. If you didn't have lube before, you mad yoke, get loads.
Get the lube. Get the lube. I can't wait for you to bring out your own lube. Rachel, I just got a text in. Somebody said, hi, Jennifer, 41, my period's just stopped. No change or missed period. It will be 2 years this July since my last period. Am I going through the menopause? I had a very stressful few years before this happened, years of fertility treatment and then a relationship breakup, and that's when they just stopped. I have no other symptoms or anything, but what does Rachel think?
I would say yes. If you have no period for 2 years at that age, then that very possibly it is that. But definitely go get that checked out, because there could be reasons why you want to know whether that is the case or not. And there could be something else going on. You know, absolutely stress can be a factor, but that might also not mean that it's a permanent change. You know, there are lots of reasons, as we talked about earlier. You know, for instance, when people have very, very low weight, which could be to do with, you know, an eating disorder, that can be a reason why people's periods can temporarily stop, and other reasons. So I would absolutely get that checked out, even if this person has no other symptoms. You go and get some blood tests for that and a couple of checks, and it'll give you some more peace of mind.
I suppose the biggest message is you don't have to suffer.
You do not have to suffer, and talk to the people around you, especially, you know, partners, if you're married, if you're in, you know, any relationships, really, you know, but the closer the people are, but that doesn't have to be just romantic partners, but friends and family members, you know, talk to them about what's going on for you so that they can, you know, be a bit more understanding, patient, ask people around you to learn about menopause and perimenopause. You know, you don't have to do all of the educating of the people around you, especially for partners, you know. And so that can help the person not take the kind of fluctuating mood so personally. They can help support you to sleep. You can also plan ahead, talking about situations that stress your relationship and make a plan together for dealing with them that are just going to be, you know, more difficult around a time where your hormones are, you know, more all over the place. And then also don't pressure people who are going through menopause or perimenopause for sex. I mean, don't ever pressure people for sex anyway, but particularly, you know, if it's something that this person can't control, it's not something they can do much about. Other, like, of course, yes, we can still take care of ourselves and potentially have medication and other forms of therapy to help deal with the symptoms. But that, you know, pressuring someone for sex is never going to help the situation.
Just going back to your statistic there about, you know, very few women suffer really badly. You know, we don't have to fear this. Do you think the psychological impact of going through the menopause is more, you know, damaging for women, you know, that it's the stigma around it, isn't it? You know,
it really can be. I think this is massive, Jen, and I'm glad that this is becoming, you know, I'm seeing all these sort of like conferences and summits online about perimenopause and menopause and being able to see this as like a celebration of a life transition, which I think is just super important, because our culture, you know, our society still so massively values this idea of sort of youth and fertility. And, you know, it's very westernized, it's very white, it's very divorced from like various cultures from, you know, from the past, where different stages of life. Now, obviously, part of it is to do with the fact that we live so much longer than we did hundreds and thousands of years ago. But I think that it's extremely damaging, the amount of pressure that is put, especially on women, to be, you know, as sort of youthful, wrinkle-free, fertile seeming as possible, and that we are, you know, seen as sort of left on the shelf and forgotten by society once having, you know, being sort of less fertile, as if that makes us less valuable as people, which is absolute BS.
Yeah, so it's important for the people around you, if you know someone going through it or a partner especially, it's important that you you know, you're careful in the language you use around it and what you're saying to them, because they might be going through their own thing. We want to get rid of that stigma with it, because it's all part of life. And, you know, dare I say, getting on. Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. Thank you so much for that. I'll chat to you next week.
Talk to you, Jen.
Thanks, Rachel. There we go. And you can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. And she'll be back next week. So if you have any questions that you'd like us to put to her, get in touch with the team 24/7. Jen at rt.ie. We'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.